like to welcome you all to the Senegal and Bulgaria Best Practice Forum. My name is Kusai Alshati. I am from Kuwait Information Technology Society, and I'm a member of the advisory group for the IGF. And I'm honored to be your moderator today for this session. We have today two countries, Senegal and Bulgaria. They will all talk about their experiences. What we are really looking from the Best Practices Forum is the issues and challenges. What worked well? What didn't work well? What was the problem faced and how it was solved? And most of all, what is the lesson learned? So we'll start first with Senegal, and just some background information on Senegal. Senegal located on Western Africa on the Atlantic Ocean between the borders of Mauritania on the north and Guinea and Guinea-Bissau in the south. And it shares its eastern borders with Mauritania and Mali. Its land area is 192,000 kilometers squared, and its population is about 12.5 approximately. I would like you to introduce you to the Senegalian panel. First, we have Mr. Samba Dai, who is the chief service TIC at the Telecom and Post Regulatory Agency. And we have Mr. Al-Hadi, Mansour Al-Hadi, who is the technical advisor in the Office of the President of Senegal. And we have also Mr. Mustafa Ndai, who is the ICT advisor at the State Computer Science Agency. And we have our dear presenter tonight, Mrs. Maymouna Dian, the director of ICT in the Ministry of Post, Telco, and ICT. So I'll pass the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'm very pleased to be here to share with you best practice on ICT fields in Senegal. We are on IGF Forum, and in Senegal we have a tradition of involving all stakeholders in all the areas. When we make a strategy, when we have some political issues to take, so I will not focus on these, you know, field of having multi-stakeholders participation, because it isn't a tradition in our country. For those who didn't know Senegal, it doesn't work. Next. Okay. As our moderator says, we will give a Senegal at glance, a resume of what is, where is Senegal and so forth. After that, we will talk about the ICT policy and the ICT development policy, the telecommunication infrastructure, and several projects we want to share with you. The first one is the e-governance project. In order to have e-service for citizen and business, the multimedia community center to implement ICT on rural and poor area, and the implementation of telecommunication university service pilot. And also we will share with you a success story in Senegal. It's the call center story. We will also talk about the new legislation, and we will conclude by our perspective for 2015. So Senegal is at the west of Africa, for those who don't know where is Senegal. And we have also, next please. It doesn't work. Next. Ah, this was thanks. Yeah. Okay. You know about the area. The capital is Dakar. We have 10 or 12 million. It depends of where you take your statistic. And we have 47 part of urban population, and the growth rate is 2.5%. And our language, official language, is French. That's why I have a broken English. And what we try to do with our new policy is to have some modern and structuring infrastructure. We have several projects. The first of these new projects is to have a new international airport, a highway from Dakar to Thiès, and to set up a special economic zone and a seaport for the future. Because of the geographical position, Senegal has a privileged access to regional and international market. In West Africa, we have an economic union with 8 countries for the monetary union and 15 countries for economic community. Senegal is a central point between Europe, Middle East, Africa, and America. For example, it just takes 4 hours by direct flight to come to Rio. To talk about our ICT policy, the beginning is a political will at the highest level of the state, and this will was translated by several legal and institutional measures. Change were, we create a ministry in charge of ICT in 2000. We adopt a new code of telecommunication on the same date, and we create a telecom and post regulation agency. We establish agency for computer science for all the states, and we open our telecom market in 2004, and we publish a telecommunication policy letter, adopt a new strategy for growth accelerated, and establish a universal service fund. For the ICT policy, we have three strategic objectives. The first one is that we want the government of Senegal to be one of the best users of ICT. We want also the educational system to be efficient and responsive for training in emergent fields. And we want also Senegal to be forefront of countries producing and exporting information product and service with high added value. To implement this proactive policy, we mobilize funds using 3 options. The first one is establishment of universal service fund. The second is creation of 2 funds, one for promoting an ICT and one for investment in ICT. And also we fundraise and at international level through bilateral and multilateral cooperation and international capital market. The primary ICT development tools in Senegal is our excellent infrastructure of telecommunication, which is available and we can say affordable, because it's not very, if you take the rate of West Africa, it is one of the lowest rate. We are the first sub-Saharan country if you consider telecommunication growth, penetration, and quality of service. You have many services available. You have a digital network covering all the territory. You have 2,200 kilometers of fiber. The internet bandwidth is 1.25 gigabytes, and we have several connections to submarine cable. We have, at the national level, very good national infrastructure. We have two mobile operators, one fixed operator, and 36% of penetration rate. At the international level, for the connectivity, we are connected to Atlantis 2, to SAT-3, and we have several connectivity by fiber optic to Mali and Mauritania, to Bamako, another one to Mali via Kidira. Kidira is in Senegal, but it's at the frontier of Senegal and Mali. And we also have a connection with Burkina Faso and Cote d'Ivoire, with Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, and Guinea-Conakry. And for internet access, we have one of the best internet access on sub-Saharan area. And we are now a sub-regional internet exchange point. To go to the major ICT project, the first one we will present is administrative intranet, which connects all administrative departments in the state, in Dakar and other cities. It starts by a vision of eSenegal. The vision is eSenegal is based on a better principle of good government, more efficient and effective state, and a government with really serving citizens and businesses. And the leverage of this strategy are the Telecom Regulatory Agency for creating competitive environment, the Computer Science State Agency for massive use of ICT by administration, and the ministry in charge of ICT for promoting ICT in all social economic level. We have also the Multimedia Community Center. It was a pilot project and a pilot project for universal service. We will talk also about the teleservices with the offshore industry. We have 30 call centers and 400 jobs created by this industry. And the legal environment also, we have a new law for information society. Oops. The governmental intranet, it is, the concept is to go today from government to citizen to e-government to e-citizen. From government to citizen, the citizen is around the government. And from the e-citizen to the government, it is the government who is around the citizen. And the base are four things. Institutional reform for better management of information system, all average reflection on ICT sector and SACE information system, major project to build the infrastructure network for administration and implementation of training strategy by for public servant. Here we have an idea of the network. It is a new network built with fiber optic around the capital and all the major administrative building. And you have online service like voice over IP, email, collaborative tool, and central portal for all services. You have also a center of resource where you can find online help and help desk for all the services. And we are now working on the expansion of broadband intranet network by fiber and microwave all around the country, from the north to the south and from west to west to cover all the country. Sorry, you don't have, okay. That is one. For service also we have on these governmental intranet administrative procedure. It's online bureaucracy. And the main objective, it is a website where we can find all procedures to get papers and so forth. It contains information to start an administrative procedure. You can get further information required to facilitate and obtain administrative paper. You have printable form of standard document in the correct format you can download. And it's also a portal for ministerial website. And for the second phase, we will implement more procedure. The impact of on the users, we have several impacts on the users. You have better orientation toward public service, better understanding of right and duty for citizens, and better participation on democracy. It simplifies relation between citizen and administration, and you also get a rationalization of administration information circuit. You get economy of time and money for citizens. You don't have to travel from city to city to get some paper. And it strengthens the dynamic and transparency of administrative procedure. And information are available now for for law, form, and so forth. And it improves visibility and better detection of problem in delivering services. Okay. You got all of those things on the website, Demarche, www.demarcheadministrative.gouv.sn. The next project is a multimedia community center. The project start in Senegal in 2004, but it is a joint initiative between UNESCO, SDC, and three countries, Senegal, Mali, and Mozambique. And our main objective are to install 20 centers in 2 years, and our expansion for 2015 is to have one center in each rural community. This is not the same? Okay. Sorry. The multimedia community center is the answer to the digital divide. On a multimedia community center, you can find a broadcast station and a telecenter. You have all the equipment on these center. It provides also service to citizens, and with a broadcast, you can use local language. I think the best thing is to use local languages. I will get it in 5 minutes. The achievement of this project is we plan to have 20, and we install effectively 24. We cover all the region, and we have we train 400 people on ICT management and broadcast, and we mobilize additional funds to achieve this project. And our perspective for 2000 and for the next phases is to strengthen existing sites and to develop content. We get funds from Switzerland for that, and we also are fundraising for creation of new centers. Right now, we'll talk about the pilot project of telecommunication universal service. It's a new project run by the agency in charge of regulatory. The objective is to demonstrate the feasibility of universal service strategy, to apply global best practice in terms of universal service access, to finance through the Universal Service Fund with the principle of minimal subsidy, to promote local private investment, and to promote the use of new technology and business strategy for rural area, and to promote project driven by local initiative. And the service to be provided are public telephony service, residential telephony service, internet access, an application in education, health, community, and development. And the area to be covered is Matam. Why Matam? Matam is a new region in Senegal. It's the last one which is created. And he has economic potential with exploitation of phosphate, agricultural and commercial activities. And it is also an area where there is a lot of immigrants in Europe and America. So they need to have communication between them and those who are outside of the country. And the project aims to achieve universal coverage of Matam and deployment of telecommunication and ICT service on all the village in two phases. Here you have the number of public telephony, the number of domestic telephony, the number of village to connect to internet, and the number of village to connect to internet with content. That means broadband. 2 minutes, okay. So let's talk about a success story in Senegal. It's a call center. The outsourcing activity started in 2002, and right now we have 4,000 jobs. About 30 company. Why Senegal is an ideal destination for outsourcing? We have a strong culture of democracy. We have a good infrastructure of telecommunication, and we have high quality of human resource and a conducive environment. We also set up some new legislation in order to be able to foster the new economy. We have a Personal Act, Data Act, Cybercrime Act, Electronic Transaction Act. But the problem we face now is the slowness of adoption process, the training of those who are responsible for applying the law, the modernization in parallel of judicial system and harmonization with legal framework on ECOWAS. In conclusion, I think I'm on the time. Our expectation for 2015 is to have emerging Senegal and attractive for investors. Today, we are one of Africa leader on ICT fields. We have high quality of human resources. We are open on the world. We have strong democracy and good governance. And tomorrow, we expect to the generalization of ICT in education, development of ICT through the administration, particularly in the decentralized department, wide press community access, development of an enabling environment for companies specializing in ICT and teleservice, and establishment of a legal framework. That's what I want to share with you. I thank you for your attention. If you have any question, I'm very pleased to answer. Thanks to you.
Thank you for the presentation, my woman. Maybe we'll give it like 10 minutes for question and answer before we pass the floor to Bulgaria. I would like, of course, what we are looking here in the question and answer session is more toward the challenges, again, the problems that were faced, how it was solved, what worked, what didn't work. From these, we can know what lessons that we can learn from the experiment of Senegal. So I'll pass the floor for any question. Sure. Tell us who you are, and please go ahead.
Thank you. Ruben Francisco from Namibia. Thank you very much for the beautiful presentation by Senegal. A lot of things that have been happening in the presentation, they are all good. And I want to find out, how did you guys reach to all the good things that you have just presented to us? Because, I mean, I really want to know how you did it so that maybe sometimes I'll be able to emulate what you did in order to say good things for Namibia too. Thank you very much. You want to repeat the question again?
Thank you. My brother from Namibia want to know how we can manage all those things.
Yeah, I mean, let's say, for example, when you were showing the city, how the city is, I mean, the central city is connected to the rest of the regions. Mm. Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm trying to find out, how did you guys do that? Like, did you get some funding from anybody? Did the government just put commitment that they have to spare some funds special for that? You know, like I said, everything that you have said is all the good thing that every country would like to see or to have.
Hmm.
But I'm trying to get really, because there should have been challenges that you went through for you to achieve that. Like, for example, in Namibia, right? Yeah, let me just, I'm just trying to be specific now. Yeah, I'm getting there now. Because like I said, the way the central government was connected to all the, was that regions, or was it ministries in the city? You know, there was a picture that you had there, like you have the internet on the other side feeding into the capital city, and you have other lines that are going out. Were those lines going to like ministries, different ministries, or were they going to different regions or different states, or what exactly was it?
Okay, thank you. I will try to understand, to answer to your question. We have a strategy to interconnect all departments, government departments. We do it in two phases. The first phase just concern those who are in Dakar, the capital, and we set up a fiber, you know, a ring around all those, and also we use microwave for the rest. Right now, we have another project to connect all departments out of Dakar, all of the region, and we do it with Korean, for example. The first phase was only the government who funded it. It was on the budget of the government and also the World Bank help. For this second phase, we will receive funds from Korea, China and Korea. Okay? So at the beginning of my presentation, I talk about how we implement it, you know, how we do it. We have three main objectives, and we use our own budget, and we fundraise at bilateral and multilateral to have, you know, funds to run all our projects.
Okay, basically, the pictures that you had was it's not the regionals that were connected to the central government, but this only within the city, and you are having a plan to expand it from the city to all the regions. Is that so?
What is the difference between city and region? For me, it's the same.
No, what I'm saying is you have a city with different ministries in that city.
Yeah.
So you can connect that from a central, like, office of the president or office of the prime minister and connect them that. That's why I'm just trying to get.
Yeah, it's a center of resource.
Mm-hmm.
The center of resource is, you know, the hub. And everything comes to the hub.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm just trying to get that because I don't know, because I thought you were trying to decentralize, you know, the government to the people. Like, you have the ring where the government surrounds the people, and you have another ring where the people surround the government.
Yeah.
So that I was just trying to get a clear picture how you guys did it. So, but it's okay. I got what you're saying now. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we have another question. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Milena Bokova. I work for Bluelink Information Network, Bulgaria. You've mentioned that you have 1.24 gigabyte bandwidth. I'm interested more to know the percentage of the population that has access to internet, actually. This is more interesting to know.
Just to remember that we also are an internet exchange point for West several countries in West Africa. We have about 1 million internet users in Senegal. About 1 million.
Only a transit? Is it the transit or it's an originator?
Originate. Yeah.
So it's not only a transit?
No. It's originate. Originate and transit. So we do both.
Any further question? I have a question myself. It's good to see that the infrastructure is spread over the country, and obviously that was done in an organized fashion. You really mentioned an important point, which is the fundraising and the international funding of the projects. This is an experience that we like to share, since Senegal was able to bring this funding into the country to finance these projects. And this is extremely important. There got to be some lesson learned from this, what to do, what not to do, how the case was presented, how the donor was looking at the request of Senegal and evaluating it. How can you elaborate further on that?
On fundraising, you have several approach. Our approach is, we know what we want. So we go to our bilateral, at the bilateral level, to see if you are interested to work with us on this. If you are interested to work with us on infrastructure or on content, or an administrative procedure, and we, you know, have round table, and we negotiate that what we do with China, we also do, we are doing right now with Korea. There is a mission in Korea right now at the same time, and that's what we will do with others. International donors.
Was the donor, like if it's China, was requesting a Chinese company to do the project? If it's Korea, they were requesting a Korean company to do the project?
For China, they request one company, one Chinese company to do the project, but with local, you know, local expertise and local company. You have China's company and Senegalese company. It's, you will have some joint venture between China and Senegal. It's not only the China who come, but the China come with all the Senegalese company.
Omar Okunate from Ivory Coast. I have a question regarding your intranet governmental. Is it completely done right now or partially? And how long did it take you guys to get to the point where you are right now?
Bon, je vais répondre en français, quoi. Donc l'intranet, donc rien que les études nous ont pris quelques 8 mois. Pour les études, pour la réalisation des cahiers de charges, etc. Et pour l'appel d'offres. Maintenant, pour la réalisation concrète, bon, ça nous a pris 1 an. 1 an de travail pour percer les tranchées, mettre la fibre et puis mettre les équipements. Donc, tout, rien que pour Dakar, comme l'a dit ma collègue, donc ça nous a pris, disons, sur 2 ans, nous avons pu réaliser l'intranet gouvernemental. Maintenant, comme il l'a dit, nous sommes en phase d'extension vers les 33 départements du Sénégal. Donc, on va essayer de couvrir l'ensemble des départements du Sénégal. Actuellement, donc, l'évaluation donc, nous amène vers 2009. Donc, on va commencer en 2008 et nous espérons qu'en juin 2009, nous pourrons terminer, disons, ce travail-là. Bon, ce qui va, disons, nous retarder, c'est que nous allons essayer de mettre la fibre. Bon, la fibre existe partout au Sénégal. Nous sommes numérisés à 100%. Seulement, le problème qui risque de se poser, c'est de voir comment on peut faire de la colocalisation avec les équipements de la Sonatel, qui est l'opérateur national. Parce que ça va nous coûter de l'argent. Parce qu'actuellement, nous avons notre propre réseau. Le réseau actuellement, c'est le réseau qui appartient à l'État. Nous ne passons pas par la Sonatel. Mais quand on va faire l'extension, c'est sûr qu'on va essayer donc de faire le partenariat avec l'opérateur national pour pouvoir toucher, disons, certaines zones dont nous ne pouvons pas, nous, essayer encore de creuser des tranchées, etc., etc. Donc, voilà.
Briefly, what he say is it takes eight months for the study and 1 year for implementation in the main city, and it will take 1 year and a half for the 33 cities, the rest of the country. And the network, the state will own the network. It will not be a shared network with another operator. It will be a separate network from the operator. Thanks.
And now we will move to the second part of our best practice forum. We will actually go all the way to the north. We'll cross North Africa to the Mediterranean, and we'll cross to Eastern Europe all the way to the Black Sea, to Bulgaria, which is located in the southeastern of Europe on the Black Sea between Romania on the north, Turkey and Greece on the south, and Macedonia and Serbia on the west. The area of Bulgaria is about 110,000 kilometers squared, and its population is approximately 7 million. I hope my information is right. I'll pass the floor to His Excellency, Ambassador Nikolai Zachov, who is here today on behalf of the Bulgarian State Agency of Information Technology and Communication. So you got to excuse him. He's not the expert in IT and ICT, and he is just representing the agency, which we'll talk on their behalf. So we welcome him here between us and take the floor, please.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Bulgarian State Agency for Information and Information Technologies and Communications, I would like to present to you a brief information about the Bulgarian experience before, during, and after the World Summit on the Information Society, WSIS. About the legal framework, since 2000, Bulgaria has accepted several new telecommunication laws, and currently the most recent one is the Law for Electronic Services. It is the foundation law for the development of the sector of the information and communications technologies, IT, ICT. Under the current law, the policy-making governmental body in the field of ICT is the State Agency for Information Technologies and Communications, SAITC. Among other activities, it has the following tasks: drafting and submitting for adoption by the Council of Ministers of electronic communications policy and strategies, as well as policy strategies and programs in the field of information society; creating conditions to ensure freedom and confidentiality of communications; representing the Republic of Bulgaria in the international organizations in the field of electronic communications and the information society; securing the governmental communications network and infrastructure. The national regulatory body is the Communications Regulatory Commission, Regulation Commission, CRC. Cybercrime is the subject of the Penal Code. A chapter, Computer Crimes, was introduced therein 5 years ago with expert support from the Internet Society. Under its provisions, computer crimes can be punished with up to 8 years in prison. WSIS-related work. Bulgaria has actively participated in the preparation of the WSIS and the WSIS itself. Our government was represented in Tunis by the chairman of the State Agency for Information Technologies and Communications, a governmental body created in 2005. Members of the Bulgarian mission to the United Nations in Geneva regularly participate in meetings at the International Telecommunications Union and at the European Union. In 2003, the Republic of Bulgaria gave its active contribution towards the agreement of the creation of the Working Group on Internet Governance, WGIG. Mr. Markus Kummer, career diplomat from Switzerland and executive coordinator of the Internet Governance Forum, has noted Bulgarian contribution in several interviews since 2003. Representatives of the civil society, namely representatives from the Internet Society of Bulgaria, ISOC.bg, have been included in the Bulgarian delegations since the very beginning. This proved to be a very successful model, both for Bulgaria as a country and for the WSIS. The conclusions and recommendations of the WSIS have been implemented successfully in Bulgaria, and here is the current state of the internet governance in my country. Internet service providers are not subject to licensing or any kind of registration. There is no control over the IP address allocation and the domain name system. The state keeps control still over the internet numbers, a function that is being performed by the state ITC agency in coordination with the Internet Society of Bulgaria, and which on a global level is being managed by the International Telecommunications Union, ITU. The current and the previous Bulgarian presidents are both members of the Internet Society. The same applies to the Prime Minister now, Mr. Sergei Stanishev, and the chairman of the ITC agency, Mr. Plamen Vachkov. A number of members of the Bulgarian parliament have joined the efforts of ISOC.bg in creating a very internet-friendly legal environment. The ITC agency has very good working relations with a number of other non-governmental bodies besides ISOC Bulgaria, among them the Electronic Communications Society, the Telecommunications Association, the Bulgarian IT Association, and others. One might ask, why, but what are the results of this cooperation for the internet users in Bulgaria? The results are actually quite good. The number of internet users has exceeded 35% of the population above the age of 15. Because there is no restriction to enter the market, it is highly competitive, and as a result, prices are low. Currently, the Bulgarian internet service providers are building their own high-speed internet backbone, where the end users are almost always given the opportunity to connect at speeds of about 100 Mbps and often 1,000 Mbps. The average monthly bill paid today is less than 20 euro. Internet providers are also offering additional services, for example, legal download of music and video and voice over internet protocol, or VOIP as it is known. The legal framework has been following the golden rule, which our delegation already shared during one of the WSIS prepcons. Or the rule is, if it works, don't touch it. There was an attempt in 1999 by my government to implement licenses for the internet service providers, which was met with resistance by the Bulgarian Internet Society. This was a lesson which our government learned well, and since then, each of the following governments showed they remember it. Our previous parliament put together a group of experts consisting of members of parliament, the national regulatory authority, representatives of the private business, and the civil society to work upon the draft of the Telecommunications Act. The result today is clearly speaking that this was not only a good choice, but it was the best choice. The internet world in Bulgaria today is built on the foundation of public-private partnership. The result of this approach is visible in the following facts. The number of internet users has jumped 35 times in the last 8 years, from 76,000 in 1999 to almost 3 million today. There are today about a dozen large foreign investors in the telecommunications and the internet market in Bulgaria. Telecommunication companies like Deutsche Telekom, through their Hungarian subsidiary MATAF, investment funds from the European Union, Switzerland, and the USA have invested a lot of money in the Bulgarian ICT market. There are more than 1.84 billion euro invested in the Bulgarian telecom market only in the last 2 years since the foundation of the state ITC agency. Further to this fact, I would like to note also the following facts. The state ITC agency represents Bulgaria in the International Telecommunication Union, the Universal Postal Union, and the European Conference of Postal and Telecommunications Administrations, the Council of Europe, etc. As we meet here in Rio, Bulgaria is also formally joining as an observer to the Regional Commonwealth and of Communications, which combines with the effort of East Europe and Central Asia to bridge the digital divide on their way to the informational society. Last year, the ITC agency hosted a delegation of the worldwide known IT gurus, who who participated in an open session of the IT Advisor Committee to the President of the Republic of Bulgaria. Some of the members of the delegations are here, such as Dr. Vince Cerf, Lynn Santamur, George Sadowski, Fred Becker, Esther Dyson, and many more. We are really lucky to be able to host all those people whose advice and guidance are quite valuable for the general development of the Bulgarian internet policy. Clearly, the successful policy Bulgaria has executed in the field of internet and the way it handled the hot issues around the internet governance are a sign that it is possible to have a working model of cooperation or maybe even collaboration between the civil society, private business, and the government. This is the Bulgarian positive contribution to the discussions around the controversial topic of how the internet is being governed. Our policy has been consistent in the last 8 years through public-private partnership, through self-regulation, and with the support from the internet service providers whenever cybercrime has been an issue. We have to note also that such a positive development of the internet is to be found among the most technologically developed countries. Therefore, Bulgaria, being still among in economic development among the European Union members, scores high on liberalization of the telecommunication services and the internet. And we are ready to share our experience. Bulgaria is planning to enhance its cooperation in 2008 with the ITU and its member states. And we are going to chair the ITU Council from 1st of January next year. Further, we are planning an international cybersecurity forum in Sofia in October 2008. And if anybody is interested, please, you can call the ITC agency. You can contact the agency and on the following addresses: www.daits.government.bg, and the email address is daits@daits.government.bg. This presentation will be maybe even tomorrow on the site of the forum. And any questions you have, please be so kind, don't hesitate. Contact the state agency of Bulgaria. And I would like to thank you very much for the attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Any questions? Well, I would like, since the ambassador is a representative of the IT agency, he's talking on the behalf of the IT agency, and I noticed that there is a member of the civil society from Bulgaria around. So I know that someone is representing the ISOC of Bulgaria, and from which organization you are? A Blue Link Information Network. Well, I will shift the focus of the question maybe toward the civil society a bit. Obviously, there was a beautiful model of cooperation that has been mentioned between stakeholders here, especially between the civil society, the IT agency, and the parliament. I noticed that there are two things first mentioned here about that the government relinquished its control over the IP numbers, which is one of the critical resources on a national level. And the other thing is that the government when the government attempted to license the ISP for operation in Bulgaria, it was heavily contested by the civil society. Can we see how this has emerged? Can anybody comment on that?
Well, these are just the facts.
This happened.
It was a step of our experience.
That's true.
Denying this licensing, the government, as I told you in the presentation, in the presentation, learned the lesson and didn't repeat it anymore. And this was the right step.
Okay, and.
Yeah, but that would definitely raise the price of the end user. So for Bulgaria, actually the users don't care who is governing what. If they have good access, good speed to internet and nice price, because actually the price for internet in Bulgaria is less than 20 euro per month. Right. And getting rid of that licensing, getting rid of the governmental overall control, made possible for the competition to grow. So we have lots of internet providers with very nice prices, so the users are increasing every day. Desi Pefeva from Internet Society Bulgaria.
And I would ask the other colleague, really, how do you view the civil society cooperation with the other stakeholder on the country? How do you see it as what challenges there? What lesson learned for us to improve our cooperation with other stakeholders like the government, as it was mentioned in Bulgaria?
Actually, in Bulgaria, we have years of quite good cooperation with the government, even because I'm coming from an environmental NGO. We have a special procedure that we propose to the government for nominating and electing NGO representatives, civil society representatives, to take part in decision-making process on very high level, to draft laws, regulations, and all these documents that the parliament then accepts and they enter into power and are implemented. So the government is obliged to give opportunity to the NGOs to participate in decision making in all issues which are in regard to environment. Since 2 years already, many other governmental institutions adopted this procedure and started to invite NGOs to take part in decision making, even on issues which are not concerning the environment. And this agency for information and communication in Bulgaria is one of the most open towards NGO. I mean, we always invite them even to our NGO events to share what we think so we can work together for the common goal. They had, however, one fault that we are not going to forgive them, apart from the one the ambassador mentioned. They proposed a very stupid change this spring in the access to information law, which, if it was adopted by the parliament, would have limited severely the access to information to all Bulgarian citizens. But thanks to the watchdogs from the civil society, this change didn't pass to the parliament. So this, I'm giving this as an example that civil society in Bulgaria is very vivid. They watch strictly what's going on the government level, and they also participate actively to secure that the public interest is protected.
You want to elaborate?
Yeah, I would like to add that actually civil society is actively participating into drafting legislation, especially internet-related legislations.
Really, we are seeing a model example of cooperation of multi-stakeholder. And I just recall that Bulgaria has an e-envoy, actually, which is Mr. Bini Mokvoti, who is also our colleague in the advisory group. And he's supposed to be here. And this is kind of unique that the country has assigned an e-envoy with a diplomatic status for the ICT. Please, questions? Shall we give the lady first? Please, introduce yourself.
Thank you. I'm Fatima Tassey Sidla. I'm from Senegal. I just wanted to ask another question to the Bulgarian ladies here. You're from the civil society, aren't you? And I would like to know who sponsored your participation. Is it the government? So, I mean, that's something I would like to raise here, because I think that civil society, if they have to participate in these things, they have to be part of the delegations. And I thought, you know, with the advancement you just announced that you were way ahead and that it wasn't the same case that in Senegal, but too bad. I just noticed that's the same thing.
And being a member of civil society myself, I support the fact that civil society gets supported to participate in the IGF. I take a pride in this. Thank you for the comment.
Yes, I'd like to go back to your question regarding the IP address. What was the motivation for the government not to control the addressing of IP address?
As I mentioned earlier, the ambassador is talking on behalf of the agency, and he is not the person in charge. As the ambassador has mentioned, that the presentation will be posted in the IGF Internet Governance website, and if any question is there, he just there will be in the presentation an email that can be forwarded to the agency, and they can hopefully answer your question.
Yes, I'm sorry not be able to to answer more specific questions because I'm not an expert in this area. I beg your pardon. But any question, don't hesitate. You are welcome to contact by internet the state agency, and be sure you will have an answer.
And I do agree, this is a model, this is a really innovative approach in such a critical resource like the IPs. Madam, you had a question? Introduce yourself.
Actually, I don't have a question. It happened that all the Bulgarians are in this room now, and I am also Bulgarian. So I just, yeah. My name is Zhivka Marinova, and I represent an NGO, which is Gender Education Research and Technologies Foundation, but I'm not sponsored by the state to come here, as all the other Bulgarians. I have been sponsored by the European Commission because I represent a project that Bulgaria is part of, and Bulgaria is participating to the Safer Internet Plus project program, which is a large program, European program, dealing with children's safety on the internet. Prevention not only of abuse, but everything that is connected with the safety of children in the internet. I mean, in terms of content, in terms of access, and everything else. I'm very happy that our ambassador is here. It is a good step that Bulgaria has a representative to this event. But I'm really sad that there is nobody than civil society representative funded by different international programs, because Bulgaria didn't send anybody here to represent and to tell about all the successes that maybe are really good.
Well, we hope that there will be opportunities ahead in the next year to learn more about Bulgaria and their advancement in the field of ICT. Any question? We are good. Maybe the last question. We are approaching 8.
My name is Alex Gakuru. I'm from Kenya. I think it's more of a comment. And I think one of the successes of United Nations hosting this forum, because the moment we have managed to get civil society and the government of Bulgaria in the same room discussing the same successes, I see this as a very positive step, an achievement for the United Nations, for my colleagues in the Internet Society, and also for Internet growth and prosperity. So thank you very much.
Thank you too.
It is always hard to see civil society agreeing with the government. So when they agree with the government, this is good. Huh? This is good. Although we as civil society, we hate to agree with the government, but it's agreeing. I would like to thank the panelists all for their time. And I would like to thank the audience for their participation, and especially the civil society in Bulgaria, which took the responsibility of the question and answer for Bulgaria and help the ambassador in a good multi-stakeholder cooperation within this best practice forum. So we just witnessed another best practice. So a warm applause to everybody, really. A real warm applause. Thank you all.